Well, we have to define the terms a little more carefully. In general, I think what you're saying is how do we protect ourselves and not get hurt or taken advantage of while being very sensitive, very heart chakra activated, very open in this world. Now, the first thing is many people say, I'm too sensitive about themselves or about another person. He's too sensitive. We have to look in to consider what kind of sensitivity are we talking about. Usually, when somebody says that, I say, you're not sensitive enough, meaning they're sensitive emotionally, but they're not sensitive enough to wisdom and understanding, meaning the person, generally is hurt easily. Very sensitive means easy to be hurt. It can also mean easy to feel sensation in the body, but also emotion. That's not a bad thing. That's not the same as heart chakra activation. That sensitivity is more associated with second chakra. Heart chakra is fourth ray, and what's needed in the balancing is fifth ray wisdom. Normally, the people who are very, when we're very sensitive, it really means that we're easily emotionally hurt. Well, that's an imbalance if it's not balanced by wisdom. And so that's the relationship between second chakra and fifth chakra. To what extent do we bring understanding and wisdom, clear knowing, to our emotional reactions? Now, the person who remains so sensitive and hurt so easily and vulnerable is a person who doesn't understand why they are that way and hasn't healed something. Now, second chakra, water, fourth chakra, air, fifth chakra is really light. The way of protecting oneself is not to try to stop being so sensitive. It's not to try to stop being so emotional, but it's to open heart more and develop wisdom more. And so when I say the person's not sensitive enough, it means that they haven't opened heart and wisdom, fifth ray, activated enough. And so the person is very sensitive, or when we feel very sensitive, we ought to ask ourselves, why do I feel so sensitive? What's going on? Normally, it's because we've experienced a lot of wounding or hurt, and we haven't fully released that old pain. We haven't healed fully. And fully, is kind of funny because everybody has all chakras blocked somewhat. Everybody has all chakras blocked somewhat, in my view, meaning there's nobody who has full. Almost no one has a full heart chakra activation. And there's almost no one who has a complete second chakra blockage being cleared. And there's almost no one who's walking around with, the summit of wisdom, fifth chakra activation. It's a matter of developing all that we are, not just part of it. And the emotional is just part of what we are. So there's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Is an easy way of classifying levels or aspects of our being, and that fits to body, mind, spirit. The antidote for being sensitive or oversensitive or easily hurt is more self-examination, more introspection, more self-understanding, like, why am I this way? Somebody calls me a bad name or blames me, criticizes me. Somebody doesn't listen to me. Somebody rejects me and says they don't want to be my friend or my partner or something. Why did I get so hurt? Well, that's my problem. And so any kind of emotional charge is my problem. It doesn't mean that other person did right action. The other person may be mean and selfish, they may be a liar, they may be, hurtful, they may be malicious, they may be whatever. That's one matter, but the more important matter is why have I become this way? So, by that introspection and self-examination of why am I feeling this way? What's going on here? How did this happen? And what's best for me? That develops wisdom. That seeking to know more deeply, seeking to understand more deeply, develops wisdom. And then the person will realize, oh, well, because when I was a child, I was, called bad names, or my parents didn't listen to me, or I'm the youngest sibling and nobody took care of me, or actually, I really think that I'm not pretty, not smart, not worthy, not valuable. I really don't like myself. I really have a lot of anger to myself. I really blame myself a lot. I really do these things that are self-punishing. Why do I do that? Well, it seems like I'm angry at myself for some reason. Why? Why am I like that? And so, by that the flowering of that self-analysis, introspection, seeking self-understanding. And it's not that we have to do it perfectly, but if we seek it truly, then we'll keep doing it because something's not clear. It's like I'm cleaning the wall and there's some dirt specks or little brown black marks on the wall. Well, if I'm cleaning the wall, really, really wanting to clean the wall, I will address each one of those little specks of dirt on the wall. And if I really want to feel well, I will simply keep, looking within and accepting and understanding until I return to wellness, which is very possible. The problem is the reason that many people are oversensitive, which is basically underdeveloped in wisdom, over-emotional, easily hurt emotionally, including underdeveloped in wisdom or self-understanding, because they haven't healed it yet, right? The reason they remain that way is because some old wound isn't healed. The problem is that person hasn't thought deeply enough about the causes of their own being so easily hurt. And that's not the same as walking around with great heart chakra activation. The one that has, so like in the Howard Storm near-death experience that I talked about 10 talks on my YouTube channel, he met some beings that probably were angelic. And they didn't blame him whatsoever for the episodes in his life during their life review, which he did out of body, the life review in which he looked back at how he was mean and selfish and hurtful to other people. They didn't hate him, they didn't blame him, but they just felt sad. They felt sad for him, and they felt sad for the other. And they understood the psychology that he was wounded in childhood by his father, by his thoughts about himself, his self-opinion, neglect, an angry father, and inadequate being loved by parents, which is quite normal. From that deficient love or the aggression of father, he developed anger, resentment to father, to the world, to others. And he was not a happy camper. He was not happy with himself either, of course. And that's why he felt he had to dominate or hurt others. Always, when the person is attached to blaming others or aggressing against other, it's done for some kind of unrecognized self-benefit. The person feels better. The person feels higher to put others down. The person feels good to make others feel bad. And so the person who's aggressive or hurtful, insensitive to others, does that for some confused secondary gain psychologically to soothe their self-hatred, to soothe their self-blame and lack of self-love. Now, the person who, as far as I know, because I'm not perfected, but the being who walks around with great heart chakra activation may or may not be oversensitive in the way you're speaking. because that oversensitivity is very much a second, third chakra affair. The person who doesn't, you know, the person who has great heart chakra activation may or may not have some old wounding with, you know, from their childhood psychologically associated with low self-value, second chakra blockage. Second chakra blockage is basically manifests as low self-value, self-blame, the sense that I'm bad or I'm wrong, I'm no good, there's something wrong with me, that's what I am. Kind of negative self-identity. Neg you know, a kind of negative in the sense of self-devalued identity. And so that's second chakra blockage. That's normally the root of the oversensitivity you're talking about, not fourth chakra great development. The person with fourth chakra great development, like those angels, would simply feel sorrow. But it depends on their second chakra condition, meaning their sense of self. There are some people who are great loving beings, and they carry this old sense of I'm no good. But actually, you can't get to you know, vast fourth chakra activation, massive heart chakra activation, without healing the blockages of second chakra. You see, you can't actually walk in profound saintly love while you're carrying low self-value, wounded identity, self-devalued identity. That's not possible because the blockages in two maintain blockages in four. So the way to develop the wisdom or fifth chakra activation involves self-acceptance. Yes, I'm very sensitive. Yes, I'm too sensitive. Yes, I'm easily hurt. Yes, I made it myself. Yes, I don't want to be this way. Yes, I care about myself. Yes, I want to heal my pain. I want to love myself. I want to be well. That's fourth chakra activation, and that leads to that's the basis of the developing wisdom. And when then the person has a reformed or re renovated or purified sense of self, I'm not evil. I'm not bad. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a loser. I'm not a fuck up. I'm not a schmuck. I'm not a dickhead. You know, there are very, very many colorful words there. Boys and girls have their own choices for that. When one realizes that, there's a certain greater degree of second chakra energy blockage release, second chakra clearance, and fourth chakra activation, and the person is on their way to developing wisdom. When that's the case, and they're more centered in the heart, and the second chakra is less blocked, and their sense of self is well. Yes, I have distortions. Yes, I cause my own pain sometimes, or I've hurt myself and I've hurt others. But it doesn't mean I'm evil or a sinner or you know, a schmuck. It just means that I make bad choices sometimes, and I'm not yet perfected here. But that's not all that I am. That's just a part of what I am. When then there's that sense, and then the fourth chakra is more activated, and there's greater love, love to yourself, which is not narcissism, it's acceptance and care, then we can feel that to others, then it's much easier, number one, to feel that the person who previously hurt you see, they don't hurt you, but you got hurt by them being saying and doing what they did. They don't hurt you. You're hurt by your reaction to their action and their speech. Their action, their speech, or their behavior, the change with them, the conditions of them, what they offered to you, by our reaction to that, we're hurt, not by them. Sticks and stones can break my bones, and names will never hurt me if I know my own name. If I know my own name, then the garbage names you call me mean nothing. just like the blowing of wind through the leaves. Nothing. So that's a greater fourth chakra activation and wisdom. In that case, like the angels that talked to Howard Storm, they didn't blame him, they didn't get angry, they didn't get hurt, they just felt sad. Because it's pitiful when somebody is wounded and hurts others. He's hurt and the other one's hurt. That's not nice. And so that's just a heart-based position, like the man of sorrows. Yeshua called the man of sorrows Jesus. So brothers and sisters of sorrow, same rock term for the wanderers. That sorrow is really resonant sadness in relation to the self-harming of humanity. That's an example of greater fourth chakra activation. And then, too, that would be normally the basis for fifth chakra activation or wisdom, knowing, which is, why does this person, do these things to try to hurt me? Malicious speech, harsh speech, divisive speech, lying, cheating, stealing, robbing, killing, hurting, physically harming, dot, dot, dot. All forms of wrong action, wrong speech. Why are they doing that? Well, they must be messed up. They are messed up. Look in the mirror, my brother, the ones who listen and do such. Look in the mirror, my friends. You are a fuck up. But that's not your essence. But you're hurting people. Every time I give a talk, I'm always have to address the spooks on the other end. So they don't look in the mirror very much because they don't like what they see. But that's where they're going to go when they die. Meanwhile, wisdom would say, why is this person harmful to others? Why are they doing wrong speech, wrong action? Why? What's wrong? Well, they get some gain, sure. Makes them feel good, sure. Just like Howard Storm. And there's wounding, and there's complex or, knotted, not, knotted, Knotted, knotted psychology at root there. Okay. Knowing that, I can feel some pity or compassion or sorrow for that one that's so harmful. But by that knowing, I'm less vulnerable because it doesn't matter what they say. If a crazy man on the street says, "You're purple," you think, huh? So, because it's not true. So, I was thinking about that today. There's in Buddhism, they're called the eight worldly winds, and these are social, interpersonal elements, factors, influences, conditions, eight of them, four times two, that we normally get upset about and we have attachment and aversion, grasping and aversion to. Praise and blame, gain and loss, there's actually pleasure, pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, honor, dishonor. So the lowest is pleasure, pain, then gain, material gain and loss, then verbal or social praise and blame, and then verbal, social, group, honor, dishonor. In terms of praise and blame, there is insincere praise and sincere praise. There is justified blame and unjustified blame. So we split the hairs. And so, in the case of blame, where is the crux where we're talking in some way of why of people getting very hurt, those who feel really oversensitive and emotional, easily hurt, easily wounded, vulnerable, all that. Normally, it's on the axis of praise and blame, and it's blame. You can say it's also loss or pain. There are some people, they have some physical pain, they start crying immediately. They are, oh, my stomach hurts. And that's okay, but that's very like a child, very like a 2 or 3 year old. And that's not bad. It just means that somehow they haven't been able to love themselves enough, and they're still waiting for something from the outside that they didn't get when they were 2 or 3. But in general, the case of overvulnerability, oversensitivity, easily hurt, is in regards to blame. And then one would have to know, and then that's the exercise of wisdom, is it justified blame or unjustified blame? If somebody says, "Hey, man, you talk too much. You don't let the interviewer ask you more questions," I'll say, "You know, that's probably right." So, if somebody says something that's blaming or seems blaming, we really, I do. I want to first see to what extent is there truth there? To what extent is it justified and they're right? I'm selfish. I'm proud. I'm stubborn. I'm impatient. I'm dominating. I don't know if I'm dominating, but whatever, anything, whatever. The content of the blame. First, we may examine it for what element, what portion of it is justified. Where's my fault? Let me find it. Let me know it. And so there's justified blame and there's unjustified blame, and then there's basically mixed blame, like mixed entree, where you have some part is justified and some is not. And so by seeking to know that, we're developing wisdom, and we're also in that we're basically drying the excess moisture. Second chakra associated with the element of water. First chakra earth, second chakra water, third chakra fire, fourth chakra air or ether, fifth is light, and sixth is space or transparency. Now, second chakra water is the nature of that easily hurt, oversensitivity, very vulnerable, and particularly sensitive to blame. That water is dried up by the exercise of fire and air. What fire and air? Well, intellect, third chakra, being used in the service of understanding and wisdom, fourth and fifth chakra. So by air, by fire, intellect, reason, analysis, introspection, with understanding and acceptance, air, fourth chakra, and seeking wisdom and knowing, fifth chakra, light, by that fire, air, and light, the water of over-emotionality, second chakra blockage, is progressively dried. Thus, my teacher Heraclitus said, dry, the soul grows good. That's why there's reincarnation. Because it is not going to be done in a single 3D body, embodied space-time like incarnation. In Buddhism, there's some view that complete and perfect enlightenment is possible in one lifetime. It's normally not done. The person, the soul, the person who's a soul, who incarnates and does achieve complete and perfect enlightenment, there are some, there are some. I mean, Nityananda, I think, came in fully enlightened as a representative of the Logos. Gautama surely wasn't enlightened fully, at least in the normal story. Later Buddhist stories about the life of Buddha said that, he was fully enlightened and he was just pretending not to be. But I think the truth is that when he was, 25, he wasn't, and when he was 45, he was. So, but that's a person who's done a great deal of work in past lives. So, I mean, you can accelerate, but you can't skip stages. And in Buddhism, there are considered four levels of enlightenment or complete and perfect awakening. The first is called Sotapanna, Shotapanna, which is stream entering the stream, which is figurative and literal in an energetic, metaphysical sense in terms of energy change in body, mind, spirit complex associated with basically root chakra to crown chakra linkage, Kundalini, Shiva Shakti, union, not complete and perfect, but first stage, first contact pass, contact with intelligent infinity, Ra says. In Buddhism, it's said that after Shotapanna, Sotapanna, the person will achieve complete and perfect enlightenment in seven lifetimes. Now, that doesn't have to be in 3D, seven more or six more lifetimes, but there is some view that there's then an inevitability to achievement or fusion into complete and perfect enlightenment once a certain penetration has been made. Buddhism talks about that. I don't think any other tradition does, but maybe. So, yes, of course, it's possible to achieve complete and perfect enlightenment in one lifetime, but that one lifetime, rests on the mountain of multiple incarnations doing the same work, having previous levels of awakening, prior to foundational to the one lifetime where the person, becomes infinity. Well, liberation is of the moment. Like Ross said, it's an opening to intelligent infinity, or an opening of our energy system of body, mind, spirit complex, and mind to the reality of infinite being or totality identity. Now, that can be done in a moment. The first penetration of that reality is sotapanna. You can accelerate that progression. It's called soul progression. Normally, it takes many, 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 many lifetimes, and normally, souls follow their group with their planet. So when the planet's in 3D, they're in 3D. When the planet harvests or graduate, makes dimensional shift, they go with the members of their planetary society, their group, that are sufficiently developed to, live in the fourth density condition, and then to five and six and seven and out. That's normal, but there is a fast path, and that's the adept path. That's the initiation of mind, body, spirit complex, the initiate way. That can be done absolutely in a balanced way. Therefore, there are practices and ways of accelerating soul progression. Now, you just have to have you just have to be careful about what views you acquire in that practice, in the lineage, in whatever tradition you're choosing. And by the fruits shall ye know it, by their fruits shall ye know them. Meaning, if you're doing, Dalai Lama said this, and I've said it before. Dalai Lama has said something like, well, if you feel you're more compassionate and open heart and more loving today than 5 or 10 years ago, then your practice has been working. So if you look at your mind and your life today, and it seems greater, more love, wisdom based, more well today than 5 or 10 years ago, then whatever you've been doing has been helping. If you have practices, and those practices like meditation, different types of form, different practices, if you find you're more well now than before, then it seems they're working. But you also have to stay with it to know that. So, like in one period of meditation, the changes to body mind that are experienced after 10 minutes of meditation are very different than those that are experienced after an hour. Therefore, if you stop in 10 minutes, after 10 minutes, you might stop because you feel uncomfortable, you feel irritable, or you feel over emotional, or you have these flooding memories, or you feel some angst or dismay, and you feel more disturbed than before you started, and then you stop at that time, you'll say, oh, this practice is no good. But actually, if you had stayed with it 50 minutes later, you might have been much more clear, and body mind would be very well. Meanwhile, that may be the case, and then the next time you do an hour of meditation, you still leave it very disturbed. Then you can think, oh, my practice is no good. This teacher is wrong, and this technique is wrong. But actually, you're simply in the middle of a long-term catharsis called spiritual emergence, which is release of lower chakra blockages, energy blockages, old emotional complexes, fear, sorrow, anger, like those. So, the person who really, really wants it will keep going till they get it. And if you're really staying, you got to keep your fingers on your pulse, like the Chinese doctor checking the radial pulses on your wrist with his fingers. You got to keep the pulse, keep your own pulse, and know how you're doing. To me, it's not disappointing that soul evolution is progressive and takes many, 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 many incarnations normally, because First of all, if you're keeping your own pulse and keeping watch on how you are, how's your life, how's your mind, how you doing, then you'll continue to make adjustments when you feel, when you see things are wrong. My body has these illnesses. Well, what's the cause and what, how can I make them better? This mind has these problems. Well, what's the cause and how can I heal them? My life, my relationship, my work, my location has these problems. Well, how can I make things better? I mean, if you do all that, you'll make things better. Right? Yeah, well, Nityananda said every experience is a test. Every experience is a test. And unfortunately, that's actually true. But if you are, you have to be really honest with yourself. I'm not well. My relationships are not well. My work is no good for me. My work doesn't fit me. I have all these relationships that are dissatisfying. My health is no good. I have bad attitudes or you know, I have a attitudes, meaning the ways I'm feeling about myself and others in my life are painful with suffering and angst. You'd have to be real honest with yourself about how's your body, how's your mind, how are your relationships, how's your work, how's your, you know, overall life progression, and take responsibility without blame. So taking fair responsibility for being the creator of your life, your body, your mind, your emotional condition, your relationships, your work situation, your money situation, your overall progression. I'm fully responsible for that. I'm fully responsible for the influences in my life, where I live, who I'm with, what I'm doing, how I'm feeling, how I've been thinking. I'm fully responsible for them in my life. I'm not responsible for them being the way they are, but I'm responsible for them all being the way they are, being in my life. If that's no good, something in there is bad, bad, I should acknowledge it, recognize it, accept it, understand it, and see how I made it and how I can change it. And if you don't want to do that, which is fine, you'll remain in some kind of swamp of discouragement, which is fine, but it's unnecessary.